I just want to do a quick review on just a few things that I talked about several weeks ago. First off, I want to say this. I've said it. I haven't said it in about 3 or 4 weeks, but it bears repeating. You are always believing something. Somebody who says, I don't believe in God, you know what? You do believe something. You don't believe there's a God. You were designed and you were wired. You were designed and wired to believe something. So you could say, I don't believe that. Well, yes, you do believe something. You just don't believe that healing is for today. You don't believe that tongues are for today. You don't believe that God is real. You just don't believe, but you're believing something. You're always believing something. And when we're talking about faith, everybody, as long as you have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, you are a person of faith. You get all the faith you're ever going to need deposited on the inside of you. And when somebody who is operating in a greater level of faith than you are, like they've seen more signs and, you know, they've seen more miracles, like they pray for people and they get healed. And you say, well, God, I want that. Well, you know what? You have that. The difference is this. Everybody has this, you know, every person, when they're born, they have the same muscle structure as the other person. Genetically, they may be slightly different, but you know, people who can have different genetics but have the same muscle structure, one person can sit on his couch and eat Twinkies and cupcakes and potato chips and get tired and big, or pie, quarter pies, and get big and not be strong. But you can have another guy who eats the proper food and you know, maybe spends some time at the gym a little bit building his muscles. Those two people both have the same muscle structure. It's just one has exercised their muscles. You know, I had a prophecy spoken over me years ago. Actually, both Leslie and I. And one of the parts of the prophecy that talked about, I get thrown into the fire, that the Lord is trying to perfect me and throwing me into the fire. But every time I get into the fire, I want to jump out of the fire. Come on, are you there? Have you be into stuff, you just want to get out. I don't like the situation that I'm in. I'm afraid right now. I don't like being out here where I'm completely alone, it feels like, and I'm vulnerable at this place. I hate it. I would just as soon run back and go where it's safe. Come on, do you know what I'm talking about? Yeah. But do you know, if you don't go out there and make yourself vulnerable, you'll not grow in faith. And faith is like a muscle. You have to exercise. The more you, I take it from me, I know. Well, here, let me just give you an example. I know you're not going to believe this, but it's the absolute truth. I was deathly afraid to stand in front of people and minister. I would have to psych myself up for weeks before I was going to preach. I'll be honest with you. I hated to preach. I did it because I knew God called me to it, and I knew how to gifting. I mean, I would get up. I can remember this one time. This was probably 15 years ago. I went to Jamaica to preach in a church in Jamaica. And it was a tin roof church with, you know, open windows on either side, probably 400 people in there. And I mean, the worship leader would take a beach towel up with him because it got so hot in there. And you know, I went up in a three-piece suit and a tie. And I was already sweating bullets before I even stepped one foot on the platform. I soaked that suit through because I was so nervous about speaking. And honestly, when I got done, I got down off the platform and I thought to myself, I just made a fool of myself. I mean, seriously, I had soaked the suit. And this guy comes up to me and he says, dude, that was the most anointed message I think I had ever heard. And honest to God, in the back of my mind, I thought, were you at the same church service that I was at? You know what I mean? I'm not kidding you. Before I would, you know, because I'd get plenty of time beforehand before I was going to preach. I'd have a month or 2 months notice. I would have to fast and pray just to have enough courage to be able to get up in front of people and speak. But after I just believed God, and I'm going to tell you what, I would take the scriptures and I would prophesy them over myself. I would declare them over myself. You don't know how many times I said I have an anointing from the Holy One and I know all things. I mean, I declared scriptures over me time and time and time and time again. And eventually that fear subsided. But you know what? I'd probably be sitting in some church pew right now if I wouldn't have stepped out in faith in those times when I thought I was going to die. I'm serious. There were some times when I'd get, like when I was in Russia, preaching in Russia, again to 500-600 people. Now you go from not preaching to hardly anybody or doing a little bit of radio work to standing in front of 600 people in a foreign country with an interpreter, and they expect you to, just another side note on that, I went into this little Chinese church, and it was probably about this big, you know, about 40, 50 people, maybe 60 people. And they all sat with notebooks and pens and tables in front of them. It was like Bible school. Tables in front, and I preached for an hour, and the pastor thought it was my introduction. He got up and he looked at me like, "Are you done?" I went, "Yeah." He preached for another hour and a half after I got done. Yeah, that's the way they do over in. So then that was a Chinese church in Russia. But so you know, I'd not hardly preached at all, and so I got an invitation to preach at this church in Russia, and so I went 500-600 people, standing in front of 500-600 people on a Sunday morning with an interpreter. That will put the fear of God in you. I made it through. And if I wouldn't have done those exercises, I would have been back, pulled back, sitting somewhere, unfulfilled, not doing what God had called me to do. See, we as believers, there's a spirit of faith that has been given to you, and we need to live by that spirit of faith. Even in the face of fear, you need to say, this is what God has called me to do, and I'm going to do it. Just like the testimony that Wendy gave today. You know, sometimes when you see somebody hurting, when you see them emotionally hurting, you can't focus on yourself. You got to focus on what God has given you to deliver to them. Oh man, a good word. I'm telling you, a good word spoken to somebody, a gentle word, a word with the spirit of life spoken into somebody can break the chains of bondage at the snap of a finger. One word spoken over somebody who's hurting can deliver them for the rest of their life. And you got it. You've got those words inside of you. If God has touched your life, you've got a word to speak. Amen? And so we're talking about words. And let's talk about words. Because your words are a barometer of your faith. Think about that just for a minute. You could tell me, oh, I got faith for that, Pastor John. I got faith for that. I got faith for that. And then you turn around, and the next person you come, you say the right thing in front of me, but you turn around to your wife and say, I've got cancer. I'm going to die. You've just actually showed your faith. Because your words will declare what you really and truly believe. And sometimes, you know, faith is not a feeling. I've talked about faith not being a feeling. Sometimes you got to declare words of faith even when your feelings are telling you. What does that say about expression? What did we read about this earlier about Proverbs? A fool expresses his feelings, right? So just because you feel afraid doesn't mean that you need to declare that out. You just need to speak life. And, you know, I made a little note here. See, faith doesn't deny the problem, but it puts your butt in the right place. Come on, think about that just for a minute. Pastor John, I've got cancer, and I think they said I'm going to die. Well, Susie, you got cancer, but God's word says that by your stripes, he was healed. You are healed. Yeah, but the doctor said, right? You got your butt in the wrong place. But the doctor said. What about saying, you're right, Pastor John. The doctor said that I got cancer and I'm going to die. But God's word says. I put my butt in the right place. But God's word says that he who is in me is greater than he who is in the world. God's word says, anything I ask in prayer, believe that I receive and I shall have that. God's word said, if you just take your butt and put it in the right place, man, you're going to get your healing. It has to come forth out of your lips, though. Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruit. I don't think we really realize, you know, it's a good, I've said it before, but it's a good darn thing God doesn't let everything that comes out of our mouth come to pass. But I will say this, the more you begin to walk in this and the more you begin to put a guard over your tongue, the more fearful you will become about saying the wrong thing. And can I tell you something? That's a good thing. Because the more you guard your tongue and the more you become afraid about, you know what, I don't want to curse, even though I love this person and I'm angry with this person right now, and you know what, it's just, I could just punch them right now, I'm not going to curse their life by the words out of my mouth. I'll hold my tongue, though I want to say it. The more you begin to understand the power of your words, I really believe this, the more you begin to understand the power of your words, the more power will be released with your words. You understand what I'm saying? And I believe, honestly, I believe that's why the Bible says in a multitude of words, sin is not lacking. You know? People who like to gossip, if you've ever noticed people who like to gossip, man, they like to talk, it seems like, doesn't it? We need to guard what we say because the course of your life is set by what you say. And I said a couple weeks ago, people too many times talk to God about their mountain when they should be talking to their mountain about their God. You know how we pray. I don't pray this way. But people pray this way. Oh, God, what are we going to do, God? I've got cancer. Oh, God, well, the doctor said I'm going to die, God. Oh, God, please heal me, God. God, please heal me. I need healing. Lord, what's my family going to do without me, Lord? Right? When they should be saying cancer, let me tell you a thing or two. You got to know the God that I serve. You have no right to my body. I command you to leave my body. I curse you, cancer. I serve the God, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the God who created everything, including my body. That's the proper response. That's talking to the mountain about your God rather than God about your mountain. Amen. That's how you get victory, y'all. Okay, so 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 18. If you could bring that up for me, Lisa. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18. Okay, so 2 Corinthians 4, verse 18 says this. While we do not look at the things which are seen, but the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal. So let me ask you a question. When you are in the midst of a problem, what do you see? Do you only see your problem? Do you see your deliverance? When you're down in that pit, come on, we've all been down there. When you're down in the bottom of that pit and it's dark and it's cold and it's wet and you're cold and you're wet and your feet are in the mud, do you only look at your feet being in the mud and at the walls being all slimy and nasty and this being ugly? Or do you look to above you for the light that's above that pit? Or are you so focused on that pit that you can't get out? Do you look? This is why I like action movies and that kind of stuff. Because it always seems like no matter what position the hero gets in, they always find a way out. You know, you all are heroes of life. God has made you a hero. You always find your way out if you just are continually looking for God's answer to the situation that you're in. But if all you can see is how lowly you are and how bad it is and I don't got any power and I don't got any faith and Pastor John, it's all crashing in around me, what am I going to do? You'll stay right in that place. And just like I said earlier, you will entrench that problem in your life. You will cement it into place and it will become a habitual problem in your life. And you know how you get out of that problem? Your words are your tools for breaking down the attacks of the enemy. It has never ceased to amaze me how people can get into a situation and go round and round that same mountain. You know, the children of Israel wandered around in the desert for 40 years. Did you know it was God's original plan to take them from Egypt into the promised land 6 months, maybe a year? But instead, they wandered around for 40 years in the wilderness. Why? Because God had performed miracle after miracle after miracle after miracle. He delivered them through just about everything, and they still didn't get it. They still had a negative attitude. They still spoke against God. They still had a bad report. God was trying to deliver them, but all they want to do was dwell on their problem. Come on, I know this might be harsh and this may be a strong word for some people, but it's the truth, y'all. Come on. If you focus on your deliverance, you know what? You will be catapulted towards your deliverance. And you know, the one thing I like about the Bible, one of the words that I like in the Bible is suddenly. Come on. That word suddenly in the Bible. Don't you love that word? Because you know you can be going along and things can be bad and you think there's no way out, but you're just keeping your heart and your eyes fixed on the Lord, on Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith, and you know that God's going to deliver you, and suddenly, here comes my deliverance. Woo, I didn't see that coming from that direction. Next thing you know, here's old Jesus on that white horse. He just comes galloping up. He grabs you by the hand, swings you up on the back of the horse, and takes you on the rest of the way. Takes you across the finish line. You just didn't think you were going to make it. But the hero came, the hero himself. Come on, am I right? Does that paint a nice picture in your head? Paints a picture in my head. I like Jesus on a white horse taking me out of my problem. You know, here's another thing too about faith. I haven't said this in a while, but it bears repeating. Is, you know, when you put the seed of faith, like when you take a seed and you put it in the ground, it's the heat of the soil and the pressure of the soil and the moisture of the soil that makes that thing produce fruit, makes it grow and bud. You know what? If you don't ever put your faith under pressure, if you don't ever get into that dark place where it just doesn't seem like you're going to make it, you're not going to grow into all that you can be. God doesn't put trials and tribulations on us, but they come. And he expects us to react with a godly reaction and not look like the person who has no God. Like your unsaved neighbor, your unsaved coworker, somebody who doesn't have God. He expects us to use our words and declare life over every situation. And as we do that, let me tell you from personal experience, your life will be amazing. And the more you disconnect from the affairs of this life and the cares of this life, the more you disconnect from that, the greater the arena of faith that you will walk in, and the greater the peace that you will have, the greater the joy that you will have. We may have to make decisions. And one of the most important decisions you will ever make is not looking at the things that you see, but looking at the things that are not seen, which is God's word. And here's not just little review notes. What you are seeing will eventually come out of your mouth. under the right pressure, right circumstances, when you become vulnerable enough to somebody. You know, I was talking to somebody this morning about going to church, you know, and it's important for us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Why is that? Well, first off, you need to get into a good church that's preaching the word. But more so than that, you need relationships. It helps us grow in life. We need relationships to help so that we can be accountable to somebody and vulnerable to somebody. I'll be the first to admit to you, I am not very good at making myself vulnerable to people. I grew up hard, y'all. My parents were divorced when I was 11. My dad, I'd see my dad every other week or every once a month or so. My mom had to get two jobs to raise us four kids. 11 years old, man, I was... You know, I pretty much did what I want. As long as I made it to school, everything else, mom would leave me alone as long as I made it to school. So imagine what a 13, 14, 15-year-old boy with ADD. I mean, I've never been diagnosed with that, but I'm telling you, if there was ever a diagnosis, they would have surely said, that boy needs to be on medication. You know? So I've learned over the years, man, you just put walls up. You know, you just put concrete barriers up and you just protect yourself because people can hurt you. But that's not God's way. You know, that's not God's way. We need one another to sharpen one another, to when we get into a situation for somebody to, like, you know, you've seen the movies where somebody's hysterical and they're, you know, and somebody just reaches up and grabs them by the car and slaps them in the face. You need to be slapped every now and again. Come on, you know what I'm talking about? And they get slapped in the face and they're like, oh, okay, thanks, I needed that. You know, sometimes you just need to get slapped by the word of God, you know what I mean? And say, wait a minute, calm down, get a hold of yourself. The ship's not sinking. Okay, you got a little, you know, a little hole. Well, let's just get down there and get her patched up. That's why this is why we meet together. Not to mention the fact it's good to be encouraged and hear the word of God and get a good word, right? So, I mean, it's important. So if you focus on something long enough, it's going to just make that problem seem insurmountable. The more you focus on the problem, the more insurmountable it will become. I always like when, like, camera photos where you can have like, let's say a beautiful tree on the other side of a fence. And somebody takes a picture through that fence at that tree, and they're focused on that tree. And the fence is there. You kind of can see it, but it's blurry, but it's there. But the tree is in perfect focus, and it's beautiful. This is the way we need to look at our problems, situations, issues. This is the way faith looks at the problem. Faith doesn't deny the problem exists. It just denies its right to have authority over you. It focuses through the problem, always looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Always looking unto the answer in the Word of God. I don't care if this fence is in the way. I'm headed over there, and I don't care what God has to do, but He's going to get this fence. He's going to show me a way around it. He's going to cut it in half. He's going to blow it down. He's going to do something. I'm making it through the fence because I'm heading over here. Amen? Faith declares that. Faith declares that with its mouth, with the words from its mouth. Faith declares it. So your faith is a barometer. And then I'm just going to close with this one thing. Let me just pull the scripture up. Romans chapter 4, verse 19 and 20. And then next week, I really want to get into the woman with the issue of blood, because there's a lot of stuff that can be learned from that. Romans chapter 4, verses 19 and 20. And I didn't really hit the... Okay, let me read it from there rather than flipping. And not being weak... This is talking about Abraham. Abraham had the promise of the child 17 years before that baby was born. Nearly 20 years before that baby was born, God promised Abraham a child, and it hadn't come. Can you stand for 20 years? Here's how he stood for 20 years. And not being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead. So in other words, he did not focus on his circumstances. He didn't even consider, didn't even look at it. He didn't even look at the problem that he was having, that I'm 100 years old. How can God deliver me? Or how can God give me a baby? He did not, being weak in faith, he did not consider his own body already dead since he was about 100 years old. And the deadness of Sarah's womb, she was the same age. He did not waver at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strengthened in faith, giving glory to God. If you are in a situation where you are in trouble and you feel like you are being buried by your problems, your response should be, with your words, giving glory to God, that he will deliver you, that he is a good God, that he knows your situation and he is at work, that he has got angels at work on your behalf, that he has given his angels charge over you, lest you dash your foot against a stone. If you declare that with your mouth, if you declare that with your words, if you meditate on God's goodness towards you, if you worship in your heart, you will not be weak in faith, y'all. Did you know that? You can't be both. If you're worshiping correctly, if you're using your words correctly to glorify God, and you are not focused on your problem, you cannot be both discouraged and full of worship at the same time. I was not discouraged when Jim was leading us in worship. Were you? If you just quit focusing on all your surroundings and you just focus on, okay, God, you are a good God. You are an amazing God. You just begin to lift him up. Man, it just transcends you to a new place. Come on, you know what I'm talking about. It doesn't just have to be that way on Sunday morning. You can live that way, y'all. Did you know you can live that way? I was bawling like a baby coming into church this morning. Just thinking about how good God is. Why did he choose me? Why am I here? Can I just come home? Actually, that's what I was praying. Lord, can I just go home? I just want to come home right now. Can't I just come home? No, you can't come home yet. That's what he told me. Not yet. You know, that just, when you get, and when I was in that place where I was just, God, I just want to come home. All of the pressures of this life, and I'm telling you right now, I'm not going to name them, but I have got a ton of stuff going on. And I'm feeling some pressure. If I think too much about it, I'm feeling pressure. Okay, so don't say, oh, Pastor John, as you do with pastor a church of 50 people. Come on, how hard can it be? All right, go stand in the corner. So, you know, but if you get into that place where Jesus is the focus, where the things of God are the focus, your faith just soars. It changes everything by doing that. Amen? All right, let me pray for you.